Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keepers Preppers Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello everybody. This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the tops of the Rocky Mountains. I've got a couple of guests this evening. I'll introduce them in a minute. Something we always should have done is talk about the mission of Prophecy Keepers Foundation. It's actually the mission of the White Roots of Peace Indian Council through Prophecy Keepers Foundation is to fulfill the wishes of the Hopi, Cherokee, and Iroquois White Roots of Peace gathering elders of the 1950s and 1960s and sending their prophetic messages around the world to establish peace through the worldwide realization of our ancient common global relatedness. My guest this evening, well, this is really a kind of a special show. I need to just kind of pause and explain some things here. Since January, since meeting our two guests, all of our lives have really kind of been thrown for a loop, and we'll get to more on that later, but you know that we try to teach folks how to communicate with Creator, and we have learned through the years, through observation and my observation, other people's observation that listens to the Spirit, that when Creator is really getting ready to bless you, there are hard times sometimes. Well, it was I met Jimmy Ten Rivers back in January through our mutual friend Ben Yosef, who I had known for several years. and he brought Jimmy to my house and became instant brothers. And there were some really special things that happened at that time. But about a week later, a fellow calls me and introduced himself as Jay Lone Wolf. And he says, have you ever heard of me? And I said, no. I said, you have me at a disadvantage. And he says, well, he says, I'm accused of being an internationally famous painter. And he says, just Google me. And I did. And I just found out some astounding things about this man. He's of Apache heritage. And but anyway, he just said, you know, I was raised in New York City, and I've been on the East Coast. I've been away from my people. And he said, I'm calling you because somebody told me that that you help people like me. And he said, I'd like to be introduced to some of my people. And I just laughed out loud, and I told him, I said, you know, I said, I said, I've met a few Apaches in the past, but I told him I had a very special meeting with one of your cousins just a week or two ago. And I said, I just laughed. I said, Creator set this up. So I put Jay Lone Wolf in touch with Jimmy. And I guess from that point, why don't we just introduce you, Jimmy? It took up too much time, but I needed to lay the groundwork for this because it's really momentous to me. Say hello, Jimmy.
Hello.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing good, thank you.
And you're sitting in a house in what town?
Well, we're in Walsenburg, Colorado.
Okay, and supposedly we also have with us Grandfather Jay, and I should have introduced Jimmy as grandfather also because he is an elder. Maybe not. He's a little bit younger than me, but he's still an elder. You know, take my word for it. Anyway, he wouldn't call himself that because, you know. Anyway, Grandfather Jay Lone Wolf, are you there?
Of course.
Okay, folks. Now, I want to explain some things. I had not spoken with Jay for 7 months, and he called me a few days ago, and, well, he left a message, you know, a month and a half ago, and he sounded very hoarse like he just did. But he called me a couple of days ago, and he says, I can't believe it. He says, I've got so much energy. He says, folks, if you're on the internet, just Google Jay Lone Wolf, LoneWolf, and you're going to see some of the fantastic paintings that this man does. He is monochromatic. He can only see, I guess, in black and white and shades of gray. And but the man truly is a legend in the art world. But no one knew about this. Well, he told people that he was Apache. They knew it, but he had some things that he wanted to share with his blood cousins, and because of how all the globetrotting he'd been doing, he had never had a chance to. And I guess I hear through the grapevine you've been praying for a long time that your people come and get you. And it almost broke my heart, folks, because I knew Jay had gone through this. And then we spoke over the phone a few times over the next couple of months, and all of a sudden Jay dropped out of sight. I had no idea what happened, and I guess I didn't check his MySpace page at the. Well, anyway, it was a month after he had his heart attack that I contacted his daughter. And then it's been another couple of months, and there has been a lot of prayer going on. But anyway, I've talked enough. I'm going to have to kind of talk for Jay tonight. He is there, folks, but he's been working so hard. Well, let me explain. Last Friday he had a one-man exhibition. Pops out of bed after having a heart attack, you know, and he was telling me that that he has a registered nurse friend, Gray Feathers, that used the allopathic methods and the Apache methods, nursed him back to health, shocked the heck out of me when he calls me, and his voice is almost normal. But so he has this one-man exhibition. Then he's got eight people in his studio building new canvases for him. You know, it's like the resurrection all over again. I just, And I'm so happy that that you're with us. But I guess from what Jay had told me, and translating again, I'm going to have to tell his story tonight, folks. But he'd been pretty sick, and but that his spirit knows where it wants to go, but his body rebels. So, Jimmy, what do you think about what's happened with Jay? And tell us about the prayers that went on and at the Sundance, and I'll just and you just talk for a while, okay?
Okay. Well, when I first was introduced to Jay, we got a chance to just speak on the telephone a couple of times, and he expressed his real want and love for his people and need to be around them, and we've been building a community here in our area over the past 12 years of weekly sweat lodges, and we've been able to bring back a lot of the puberty ceremonies from the Apache people and a lot of the songs and things like that that we're trying to teach to our community. And, you know, we've really been praying for Jay, our whole community. And without knowing this man, you know, and actually ever meeting him and shaking his hand, I really just from speaking to him can tell the love that he has for his people. And, you know, hopefully someday that we're going to be able to meet each other. But this year at our Sundance, we're going into our seventh year of Sundance this year, which we were fortunate enough to meet a lot of elders that have helped us to bring this back to our community, and what we're really feeling is a lot of our ceremonies have been stolen, taken away, and we weren't allowed to practice these things during the early years of reservations and into the early 20th century. And a lot of things were taken away, so we were really fortunate to have some elders that were able to teach us the ceremony and to help us to reintroduce that to our community. And through that, you know, Jay is one of our elders that we were able to meet. Along with reintroducing the Sundance, we also, one of our goals is to prepare a place for the elders to come during these times of, they say in the old stories that there's times of purification that are coming upon us.
And now hold that thought, Jimmy, because here's where dreams and visions come in.
Okay.
In May of 2006, I was either going to sleep or getting up, and I had a very special experience. I saw it was almost like, you know, standing looking at the side of one of those buildings in Times Square in New York City with the moving script. And it was telling me that I was supposed to go in a certain direction and raise funds for travel expenses to bring the elders together to literally save the planet, .. More information to follow. So, you know, when I heard about your plans there at the East Gate, and folks, the Membrano Apache, turn it back over to Jimmy. That's all. I just wanted to tell you about that little dream I had. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Okay, so then, one of our visions here at the Eastern Gate, we're geographically, we're in the furthest portion of the Four Corners Eastern Gate. And in some of the old prophecies and stories, they speak of the elders gathering at the Eastern Gate during these times to possibly make decisions for the future or to help guide people to better our earth and better the things that are around us. I'm not really sure.
We've just been pointed in a direction. We haven't been shown the rest of the vision yet, you know.
And so this is kind of primarily how I met Jay and, you know, through you, Otter, and introducing us, and I think it was a lot of Grandpa that had a lot to put us all together. And we're all a piece of this great big puzzle, and somehow he's putting us together so we could continue doing his work like that. And, So I'm really, you know, I'm really praying for Jay a lot. I really, we, you know, our a lot of our ceremonies that are conducted have a lot of maybe self-affliction. You might want to say in the sweat lodge you kind of suffer, the sundance you suffer fast, and you the men pierce their bodies, and you know, it's really a heavy prayer. And so through this prayer, a lot of healings have happened. And even just to hear Jay's voice, that is a, just another confirmation of what's happening here is something good.
You should have heard a couple, not to interrupt, but you should have heard a couple days ago. I didn't make the point that, you know, Jay calls me a voice from the dead, you know, and I expected him to sound like this, you know, with a whisper. And he calls me up, and his voice is almost as strong as it was 7 months ago before the heart attack.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going, oh, my gosh. And he says, you know, and he's and anyway, but
there's always strength in the red spirit. Always strength. It's okay, like yae. She at the aish. Sha ate nok ki yete. Le toka nakai. She toke like yae. Take life first. I once rode the plains, and now the sky dancers call for me. Always take life first, my red spirits.
Oh. Well, you know, how many people knew that Jane Lone Wolf was an Apache language scholar? And, you know, so we, you know, Jimmy's got this vision out in front of him that also, and I'm sure he'll get to the ghost dance, but anyway, I have never been more excited in all the years that I've been involved in this work, because we were told certain things were going to happen. So, you know, I've studied the Native American side of things, but also studied the Hebrew side, and I think it's really interesting that this country's banks are about to be closed for a few days, you know, while they reorganize things. I'm sure that's what's going to happen. But, you know, the prophecies that we have specifically told us that this is going to happen during an election year, and other weather signs were given. So, and then the you know, that came from, you know, a Mormon direction, from a renegade Mormon bishop, and his prophecies are 100% true, have been for 100 years. So anyway, then we've got this prophecy coming from Ezekiel that points to 2008, and specifically this period of time, this month that we're in right now. Just getting ready to go into Yom Kippur, the Jewish New Year, I believe it's on the 26th. But like we've been telling folks, because of things that are going on in Israel between them and Palestinians and the United States government, and that they're trying to sell lands that were given to Joseph, who has millions and millions of descendants all around the world. What we knew, that was a 2,760-year prophecy, and that was going to come to an end right about this week. So anyway, hey, folks, if the times haven't got your attention, I don't know what will get them. But anyway, Jimmy, go ahead, and that was just a little filler.
Yeah. Well, we've been working really hard out here, you know, and I'm really looking forward to someday meeting with Jay. And the language is, to get to that for a minute, is really important. It's something that that our people have lost here in this area. And we're really excited to have a member of our family that knows this language now, and that's going to be able to help us to reintroduce that. As I was speaking earlier about the Sundance and the other ceremonies, we really strongly feel that, you know, there's a deep need in our society today to bring these ceremonies back to their rightful place amongst the people. And you know, there's just handfuls of folks here and there that really know these ceremonies, and that are really trying hard to do that. But it's really hard in this. They say we live in the, when we follow these ceremonial ways and these old ways, that we live in two worlds. We live in that world of, the second world of the material and the the wants and things like that, and to go back into that first world of the sacred and when things were of the absolute like that. And it's really hard for the young people these days to live back and forth between those two worlds, and that's why they're struggling so much. So many people are having problems with addiction and alcoholism, and there's so much things going on like that because people really doesn't understand. And that's part of the work that we're doing here, is we're trying to open that up to all people, not just Native people, but to all people, to be able to reconnect and bring some balance back to themselves or to their lives, to their families, their homes, whatever it might be that each person might be struggling with. And we have a good community here and a lot of strong warriors that are praying hard, and we're seeing change, but it's small change, you know. And we're just looking to hopefully, like I said, reintroduce more and more each time that we can to the people, because this is what we need right now, Otter. And Jay, you know, there's so much disruption amongst our world, and rape, thievery, murder, you know, even the kids in school aren't safe. And we have to start in our own homes and our own yards to clean these things up, and a lot of folks aren't seeing that. So that's the importance of the ceremonies. That's what those are going to help with. Those, bringing those back according to the old prophecies and the old ones, that it will bring balance back to our people. And the land will be returned to the Native people as caretakers. I believe these things because... if I could just talk for a minute about the ghost dance, just for 1 minute. That was part of my vision was... And I know there's been people through the years that have tried to reintroduce this dance. But part of my vision of this is the Creator has come to me and told me about this dance, and I'm waiting for the songs to be shown to me so we could start this. And it's going to be for all people, not just for Native people. It's for all people. The Dance of Welcome, it's called. And this is going to break a lot of those bridges and barriers that we have of prejudice and things like that we're hoping and praying for. And I know you have some thoughts on that you were thinking about.
Well, yeah, you know? It was kind of interesting. We're going to take a break, folks, and we'll be back.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some cases cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website, with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim supercharges your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? if you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
And we're back. I was going to tell folks what I was taught about the ghost dance. And I was taught this by grandfather John Rolling Thunder Pope. He was at Paint Clan, Chickamauga Cherokee. He didn't claim to be a Cherokee medicine man, but he was an intertribal medicine man and probably the most well-known medicine man of the 20th century. He was a personal friend of Bob Dylan. And anyway, the Grateful Dead, back during the heavy days. Anyway, what he taught me was that the ghost dance, as most people knew it, they didn't understand the ghost dance because the intent and the way it was danced had been changed, and lies had been written about it in books. And he, and of course, Grandfather Rolling Thunder was in the Billy Jack movies, and also in the Billy Jack movies was Wovoka's, and if you're familiar with the ghost dance, you know what Wovoka is. Well, Wovoka's son-in-law, Davidovich, was on the crew, and he taught the cast and crew the ghost dance, and they danced it in the movie. And we've got that clip at originalghostdance.com. But anyway, my friend Ben Yosef brings Jimmy to my house. One of the first things that comes out of Jimmy's mouth was, "What do you know about the ghost dance?" And I just put a finger up, "Wait one," and I walked over and popped a DVD in the machine. I said, "This is what you're looking for." And so that's it. So we just, and it was just like wham, you know. And then we met Jay. And then and then 7 months of, I don't know what's been telling us to slow down, but, you know, I found in the past that when you're doing what Creator wants you to do, there's going to be opposition. And boy, has there been. So let me go ahead and tell the folks what you know, Jimmy.
Well, it's, the ghost town started with Jack Wilson back in the 1890s, and his native name was Wovoka. He was a Paiute man. And he was given vision after supposedly being dead for 5 days. And they were going to open him up on the fifth day to see if he bled. And he came out of his coma or whatever it was that he was in. And he said he actually spoke to God. And this is the instructions that he was given for this dance. Well, like you said earlier, it was taken out of text and it was changed. And people became fearful of it because it seemed to bring some kind of strength back to the native people also too. And some kind of feeling of belonging and things that at a really terrible time in our history for the native people that they needed to have some kind of strength brought back to them like that. And this is also how the Sundance came about too. But through this vision of Jack Wilson, you know, everything kind of got jumbled around and changed, and a bunch of people who ended up getting killed at Wounded Knee. And it just turned real tragic. So the people could not practice this dance anymore openly. We couldn't practice our sun dances. We couldn't do our sweat lodges. And if it wasn't for a few very brave, brave elders and people that took these things underground and kept them hidden away, the dance consists of it's a four-day dance, the sun dance. The ghost dance is also a four-day dance. But people hid. They hid to do these dances. They wouldn't pierce anymore during the Sundance time. Fear of showing the marks on their body, they would be persecuted, sent to prison, whipped, punished, things like that. So they practice these things underground. Well, about 5-6 years ago, you know, I just started having these dreams and these things about this dance, you know, and books were put into my hands, and things just happened to correlate together like that. It was some kind of vision that I was having about this, and to bring it back for the people, for all people, not just for Native people, but for all people, like I said earlier, break these bridges and these barriers of this prejudice that's been. They say there's no prejudice still in our country or around the world, but there is, and there's a lot of it.
There sure is.
And, it's one of the biggest things that we've had problems with our people. You know, they have to get identification cards to say who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible things are still a lot of people in this country think that the Native Americans really have it made because of the casinos that some of them were given and things like that. And some of them do. But the majority of the Native people are still living third world, and they're still living really rough. The South Dakota Pine Ridge Reservation is number one place in America for suicide, young people committing suicide.
Yeah, I hate to chime in here, but if Grandfather Jaime Perez were sitting in their circle, he would want to chime up and say, well, you know, this fellow is a Mixtec and medicine man, and he's done translation work for Grandfather Hunbutt's man, and he's also run for mayor in El Paso. And he's got a master's degree in public administration. So, you know, he was telling me about the situation with the casino down in El Paso, and he said, you know, he says they made a tremendous amount of money. And he says, instead of putting it into some kind of industry, something to make the tribe self-sufficient, he says, they bought the huge houses and the Mercedes-Benzes. And he says, now the casino's shut down, or not making enough money, and they can't even afford to put their gasoline in their, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he says, and if all the casinos in this country would give 5% of their annual income to Indians south of the border, he says, we just got to learn to share it. Number one, we got to be smart about money.
Yes.
You know, and that's where guys like Grandfather Jay Lone Wolf come in. I mean, the man's been blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm sure he's got enough lawyers to be smart about money. You know, so anyway, we got to learn to handle money. We got to learn to put a nation together. Like right now, the Republic of Lakota, you don't hear a lot, but there's going to be some interesting things coming out, because you got people like Norbert Johnson, who literally wrote the book on economic development for Indian tribes, and I'm talking about a 1,000-page, $300 kind of book that all the tribes buy, He's that much of an equity. Anyway, he's out there working in that direction. I got off on a tangent. You'll have to excuse me. Go ahead.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, one thing is the people have to learn is how to take care of their money, take care of things like that.
Jimmy, Jay was saying something. What did you say, Jay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's not too far from the mark. I go to the Miccosukee Reservation.
Yeah.
I see three Hummers in a driveway. And those are just cars to go to the store with. I look at some of our people, and they have a grand of wealth, but they forget, like everything else, like the wind sometimes when you're sailing. It doesn't always last, and then you're left to drift. People have to remember that the wind and the waves are always on the side of the ablest navigator. We have to learn to share in order to grow. We have to learn to conserve in order to preserve. We have to maintain the word in order to keep the red spirit strong. I cannot believe sometimes when I go to the reservation where the average income there is six figures, and I see people spending money like there's no tomorrow. You know what? These things are made of stone. A good hurricane can bring that down. Some of us forget this. we have to share with one another in order to grow. There is no growth without sharing. If I have the seeds for corn and you do not, you will starve. We have to share. This is a funny climate we live in. You know, I used to be able to step outside and take a deep breath and feel freedom. Now when I step outside and I take a deep breath, I smell debt. I suspect Wall Street has something to do with that. I'll be paying for somebody's debt who I don't know. Then I watch a debate. I see a pretty smile, pretty teeth, pretty hair, tight dress and a thong, but no message. My father always told me, let your speech be better than silence, or remain silent, but listen to the people. The people speak. The people's hearts scream. Their souls yell. Their spirits thunder. Yet they do not listen to the people. We have somebody come over from Alaska, wants to run for vice president, has never took the time to listen to the Eskimos. Now, ironically, I found out, she just wants to use a few hundred acres to drill in of millions of acres. But ironically, those acres are right on or about native ground.
Yeah,
so what do? We move them out? Listen to the people. Listen to the spirit of our people. It's so important. I apologize for ranting. My spirit gets on fire sometimes.
Oh, I'm glad. You know, you know, the folks out there, if you've never really been around a traditional elder, you've really missed things. It's really special to just sit and listen to someone who is steeped in a culture. Rolling Thunder was very, very special to me because he was steeped not only in our own Cherokee culture, and knew enough about Cherokees to know one when he saw me coming and said so. And but the you know, people have no most people have no conception of the depth of commitment that people like Jane Lone Wolf and Jimmy Ten Rivers and Ben Yosef have to, and the commitment that they have to teach people about different cultures. And I've been doing this for a lot of years, and, you know, I was looking into my astrology. I mean, it's in my astrology, folks. It's what I do. It's like Robert Goswell, before he passed away, he said, you know, sometimes, you know, he and I would cry, and of course, on, you know, you know, we were brave, you know, on the outside, you know, we were confident, but talking between each other sometimes, you know, I'd call him and I'd cry, or vice versa, but he'd say, you know what, we're going to get up in the morning, we're going to do it again, because it's what we do. But anyway, I've preached enough. Jimmy, go ahead, take it away.
Well, it's funny you say that. You know, one thing we say in our sweat lodge, we always talk about, like, in the morning, the birds wake up, and they'll be singing their songs, and they don't really know what's going to be happening to them that day. They could get hit by a car, or catch a BB gun, or something could happen, but they still sing their songs every day, every morning. You get up, you hear those birds out there. And the same thing is true with our people. You know, the songs are very important, the language very important. So it's important that they learn those songs and they learn those things in order to make a better place for us. And so we get up anyway. We don't know sometimes how we're going to pay our bills, or if grandma's going to make it through the day, or, you know, or what's going to happen. We have a lot of struggles. I'm disabled myself. I've been hurt since 1984. I broke my neck in a car accident. And, you know, and we don't know from day to day, but we still wake up singing our songs. We still wake up praying to Creator, to Houston, and, you know, it's really powerful like that, because it's almost like a blind faith, you know, but that's okay too, because we know the instructions that Creator gave to our people. And when you understand those things, when you go to ceremony or you're around a good community like the community we have here, and you start to understand those kind of things, and you're able to see and recognize things that other folks out there that are running 9-to-5 jobs and don't have time even to sit down with their families, you know, you start recognizing things that folks like that can't really see. So sometimes, you know, this the folks got to kind of slow down, just kind of look around, and for people, you know, for all people, it's we need to keep singing those songs. We need to remember these old ways, these old teachings, and start bringing them back a little bit more, reintroducing them to our families and to whoever we can, because this is the instructions that I've received, that where the changes are going to come about. And so I really believe that. You know, one thing we say for all our ceremonies, and I would like maybe Jay to teach us how to say this in the Apache language, in the Ende language, because we've adopted a lot of things from the northern people in this area, like the sun dances, the Lakota ceremony, and the way of the Chanupa, the pipe, is a northern, so.
Well, let's take a break, 2 minute break, and hey Don, wake up in the studio and put our break music on, and then we'll come back and folks, if you need a cup of coffee, squeeze a kidney or whatever, we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow, but tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quinones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandim.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandim, and it's a combination of five exotic plants that have been around for centuries.
Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age, what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Quinones has been taking Protandim for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better, I feel a lot better, and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandim to the test tonight.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Okay, folks, we're back from break, and Jamie was just telling me what to remind him of, so since we came back on the air, I'll let him tell everybody what to remind him of.
Well,
what have you been smoking, man?
Yeah. Well, I was just talking earlier about our ceremonies, and I was asking Jay, you know, if he could just, in the Ende language, if he could, we adopted the saying that they say in the North, you know, whenever we speak, or we're going to speak in ceremony, or when we're done speaking, or when we're entering or coming out, we always say to all my relations. And I was just wondering if Jay could iterate on that and give us the Ende, how we would say that in Ende. To all my relations.
I'm sorry, I could not hear.
The words to all my relations in the Ende language.
Would you like me to say something to our people?
Yes.
Yeah, he just I guess he wanted to go through how different things are said, and particularly all my relations.
Oh, Niki Meshi Nahaha Noote Ishi Nihi She Ane Leche Ne Yeti Shi Ahi Ane. I live in a land where thousands of people come and still do not speak my tongue, yet claim they're my benefactors. Sorry to be political this moment.
Yeah.
Well, this is just one thing that we try to point out, you know, to a lot of people, is that we're all related. You know, if it's the animals, the plants, the water, the air, we're all related to all these things. And we all have to start recognizing it as that, because you wouldn't, maybe in this day and age some people would, but they wouldn't hit their mother. They wouldn't pollute her like that, the way they're doing to our earth and all these things that are going on. You know, so that's the importance of that to all my relations, is that people understand that we're all related. You know, and we're all related to this earth and all things on her, and we And it was one of our original instructions as people to take care of things.
Yeah,
and
true.
And we're not doing it, you know. And so people really need to listen to that. When you speak, say to all my relations, and you could understand, if these are your relatives, then why do you hurt them? Why do you hurt the waters? Why do you hurt the airs?
That's right.
Yeah.
Mother Earth allows us to live on her flesh, yet we tear it, yet we destroy it, yet we pollute it. Are we beings or ticks on Mother Earth? If we are ticks, then we need to be disinfected. If we are beings, then we need to be like trees, plant roots, grow, flourish the red spirit, and teach others, educate others to do the same. We should be Mother Earth's embrace, not Mother Earth's disease. It is important that we learn, and as elders, teach the youngers to do that and understand and respect it. Don't ride a dune buggy 100 miles through a desert and destroy the desert. The desert is there for a reason. It is where eventually we will probably meet the Creator in a desert. Let's keep it pristine. Let's learn to conserve. Let's learn to preserve. Let's learn to teach the young warriors to respect what we have respected and our 10 fathers before us have respected. Yet we move on and they linger. It is important that the message move forward, that Mother Earth embraces us. She comforts us. She feeds us. She keeps us there on this mystical rug so that the day when the Creator sends the great white horse, we can get blessed and go home. She keeps us. She babysits us for Creator. Yet, we turn against the babysitter. We throw stones against the babysitter. We defile the babysitter. We need to remember we reside with the babysitter because Creator left us in her care. When he comes back, Creator will pass judgment for those of us who did not take care of the babysitter. It is so important that we convey that message because we have no other message in the world. We must convey the message of humility, the message of learning how to educate one another so we can move forward as a people. There is no one I dislike in this planet. There is no one I have that much disdain or hate for. I may not agree with half the people in the planet, but by golly, there is no way I shall defile Mother Earth, who embraced me from birth, who fed me from birth, who bathed me from birth, who's kept me moving on a direction to my people, and now with Creator's help, I'm almost there. We must remember that Niki Boho Hahate Le'ahunok. Honor Mother Earth, and she will feed us.
Now, oh,
I wake
oh.
You, Blue Otter.
Oh. Jay?
Yes.
I sure am glad you're still with us.
I know. People call it Mother Earth. I call it my babysitter.
Yeah.
Because I don't know any other structure, or I like to say spirit being, this great sphere we reside, this spirit being that gives so much life and life flourishes so much. And yet, not all the time, but sometimes we natives turn away and we must turn right back, apologize, and fix what we have broken.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, do you have anything to add? We've got just a couple more minutes before we're going to go to the closing.
There was just one more thing that I would like to talk about, and I guess that would be the return of Geronimo's skull. You know, back in the days of Prescott Bush, it was understood that through a woman that had dated many of the bonesmen, that she found this information to be true, that the skull of Geronimo was taken along with Mangus and some of the other warriors. Some of their bones were taken, and through that, this Skull and Bone Society was formed. And that there's been a lot of unclean rituals that have been been performed with these skulls and with these bones, and our people have been crying for a long time for the return of these items, sacred items, and that's along with all the sacred items that have been stolen through the years. I've been into museums and I've seen the dresses of women and the papooses of little kids, and they have these things in museums on displays, and these are sacred items to our people, even the sacred pipes and the drums and all these things. They need to be returned. According to my friend Ben Yosef, there's been a terrible curse placed upon the Bush family because of this. And I kind of have no reason to doubt that.
The Sanhedrin, you know, when he was in Jerusalem, they delivered a scroll to him telling him that, you know, if he would stop pushing for certain things, that he wouldn't be qualifying to be Gog and Magog. But if he continued doing what he was doing, in their estimation, that's what he was going to be. We live in the end times, folks. But, and you know what? You know, the more and more evil that that gets shown, you're going to see some spectacular things coming from Creator. And we've got about 30 seconds. Grandfather Jay, you want to say goodbye to the folks?
Oh, yes, and I'd like to give a shout-out to 4MC.
Take your time. We're going right up to the top of the hour, with or without break music.
Okay, I'd just like to give a shout-out to 4 motorcycle groups that have always supported me. One group is called Jerusalem Freedom MC. The other one's called Native American MC. The other group is called Bikers for Christ MC and the Last Disciples MC. I'd like to give them all a thank and praise them for all their work with the poor and helping those that are in tremendous need. And I'd like to remind everybody that Mother Earth is not just Mother Earth. She's our babysitter. She is the benefactor who will be handing us the Creator. Let's please respect this great carpet we walk on. Thank you.
Well, Don, go ahead and play the closing music. And, folks, this has been another episode of Prophecy Keepers Radio. We will see you next week. And, want to recommend everybody take a look at intelwater.com, intelwater.com. We're going to be talking more about the Genie water wands and how good they are for you, because they create a special kind of water right in your bottle. But I did promise to say something about that tonight, but got sidetracked. Donald, go ahead and play our closing music. And folks, thanks for listening.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
There is a growing movement of people who are deciding to make their lives better. At LifeVantage, we're in the business of change, of improving quality of life globally and restoring the ability to make dreams a reality. Your quest for personal fulfillment begins here. Our flagship product, Protandem, the Nerf 2 Synergizer, is the key to fighting oxidative stress. This daily supplement, comprised of natural ingredients, activates the body's antioxidant enzymes to eliminate free radicals, which cause oxidative stress. Protandem has been tested in the laboratories of renowned universities such as The Ohio State University, LSU, and the University of Colorado, Denver. These studies found on PubMed.gov, the U.S. government's online scientific library, clinically show that Protandem reduces oxidative stress.
When I saw that Protandem reduces oxidative stress by 40% in 30 days, I was all in for the rest of my life.
Everyone begs us for science as an industry. Where's your proof? Well, we have that also.
LifeVantage is devoted to advancing Nerf 2 science and leading the fight against oxidative stress.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing, and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet, all for $9.99, formerly priced at $29.99. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the holy ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
This is Prophecy Keepers Radio for the 25th of October, 2008. And before I introduce our guest, I'd like to tell you a little bit about who we are. Want to let you know we are struggling. This may be our last show unless we get some help. We're not part of anybody's budget. We rely solely on you. Creator has shown our seers that we need $500,000 for travel expenses for the elders to gather and revive the dance of welcome, exactly as taught by Wovoka, not as Sitting Bull's altered version of the dance of welcome, which was called the Ghost Dance. Which was altered to pray for the death of all whites and which ended in the massacre at Wounded Knee. So please donate now and help us literally save our planet. The mission of the White Roots of Peace Council through Prophecy Keepers Foundation is to fulfill the wishes of the Hopi, Cherokee, and the Iroquois elders of the 1950s and 60s in sending their prophetic messages around the world to establish peace through the worldwide realization of our ancient common goal of relatedness. Our guest this evening is Medicine Sky Woman. Medicine Sky Woman is the founder of the Angel to Angel Network. Their mission is to provide assistance to runaways, battered, abused, and exploited teens in the areas of counseling, shelter, food, education, and medical assistance, with the emphasis on Native American teens. Where possible, they assist teens in their complete rehabilitation into a loving family environment and society at large. Angel to Angel Network is also programmed to assist youths ages 13 to 23 with live online or offline support counseling. And this communication tool allows them to let youth know that they're not alone if they're having problems with violence, sexual abuse, drugs and alcohol, depression, school problems, suicidal tendencies, teen pregnancy, ADD, defiance, or other behavior problems. Angel to Angel Network is funded by individuals, corporations, and members, and monies are also raised through various events. Medicine Sky Woman is the founder. Her Anglo first name is Loretta. And how do you pronounce your, welcome to the show, how do you pronounce your Anglo, well, I guess it's actually Hispanic last name?
It's Mejia.
Mejia, that's what I thought, but I didn't want to butcher it because, anyway, welcome to the show. Medicine Sky Woman faced incest as a child, and along with many of other of life's hurts, addictions, and tragedies. She's the great-great-great-granddaughter of the great Apache chief, Victorio, who fought alongside Goyatle. And so tell us a little bit about who you are, where you live, what you do, what's your mission.
Oh, well, first of all, it's an honor to be on your show. I'm from the Southwest, and right now we're located in Albuquerque, New Mexico. But we started out in Kansas, and that was back in May of 2003. And we are now have grown since, and I have been pretty much called back to come back to the Southwest and come back home and get back into helping out our people and help out all Red Spirits. So that was pretty much my vision and my dream to do. And so I'm here in New Mexico now, and but we have had a long road to get us there. And so a lot of learning experiences, but our programs are...
Sorry, go ahead. When I hear learning experiences, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. it's been a long road, but like I say, we've kind of had a pretty good growing experience the last 5 years. We've already passed our five-year mark, so all the people out there that said that you know, that we wouldn't make it, well, we have, and we have a lot yet to do. So, but right now our mission is pretty much working with the local tribes. We work with also tribes all over the world, so that's how we started out. It was a mission to reach out online to youth that just basically that were all over the globe. So we had a really good success rate in the beginning, and then it just escalated from that, and it just started focusing more on the local tribes, and so now pretty much it's a lot the Four Corners, so area that, but we still have programs, some of our programs like our horse program, that kind of reaches out to really anywhere that we can get. So we have a horse trainer that actually takes our demonstrations on the road and will do them anywhere. So we go to the reservations, or we go just anywhere anybody invites us to go, and we're happy to display our own introducing the programs through our demonstrations with breaking of the horses and stuff. And it's a really neat experience to kind of watch that happen, bringing horse and man together with that. And, and as a red spirit, we can identify with that, broken spirit that the horse, carries. And so it's a really neat demonstration, and we've seen lives changed with that, and watched the teens kind of open up. It's part of our cultural recovery program. So a lot of our programs are designed to help everyone out, but, our emphasis are on Native youth, and because that is really, it's these kids need us, and it's kind of been my personal calling because of the things that I've, been through, and a lot that if anybody goes to our website, they can actually, read a little bit more about me and what I've experienced. And but I'm, I was a runaway myself, so. But, I left home for a lot of the same reasons these kids, that we work with today, what they go through, and whether it has to do with alcoholism, drugs, or it has to do with incest or sexual abuse or anything like that. And it's, these are some of the things that I've experienced. And I had to get out of that situation, so and looking for a way out and thinking of suicide as the way out, and finding out that it wasn't. So while I was out on the streets and I was pretty much going back and forth on the reservations, from Rio Doso there at Mescalero to down to Albuquerque, there to Isleta, to back to El Paso, and just, pretty much hitchhiked and just on living on the streets, living any way I can, and trying to survive. So I just thank Creator that I didn't get into certain acts that, that I shouldn't have, but unfortunately I did see a lot, and I steered away from a lot of other things as well. But I made a promise to Creator that I would, if I made it off the streets, that I would give back and do whatever I could, and that was my mission in life. And since I made it, it was kind of after going through, bad marriage and just realizing that my spirit was totally broken. I wasn't happy with who I was, where I came from. I wanted to be like other white girls because it seemed like they, got treated better. And, and so just kind of with all this brokenness and just kind of taking it all back and remembering what it was like growing up, and trying to get people to help me, and trying to speak up and then being told that that you're lying or you brought it onto yourself, and going through situations like that, it just or being in a marriage that being very disrespectful by being dishonored, and growing up in a culture though that that you're very well respected and that the women are very well respected, and so to be pulled out of that and then realize that you're not being treated a certain way, but also growing up in a household where you saw things happen with your parents and that respect was being dishonored there. So taking all this and then with my own experiences, it kind of made me turn around and say, you know what, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to finally follow through with that promise that I made to Creator. And I did. And it took me to get broken down to the point where I just said no more. And I think it had to do a lot, too, with my health. And I've shared with you blue water a little bit about my health and some of the things that I had gone through and with the cancer and everything. And I think just facing a lot of life tragedies, I guess, you kind of put in a perspective of what you need to do, you know, and you just kind of just have to take charge and say, you know, I'm going to do something now, and you just do it. And it just kind of created, you know, just people around me that said, you know, go after this, do this, you know, and I did, and it just, I really thought it was just going to be something that I was going to reach out to online, and then it turned into support groups, and it just kind of grew from there, and, you know, so it's been a real blessing.
Kind of like Popsy.
Yes.
It sounds like you went through, I don't know if I ever told you this, but I have a degree in youth agency administration, and I worked for the Boy Scouts as an executive for 3 years, and then after that, my wife, who passed away from cancer, and her mom passed away also at an early age, my wife had a degree in child development and family relationships, and well, we're looking in the newspaper one day, and Father Flanagan's Boys Town, the famous Boys Town in Nebraska, was hiring, and so we went to work for Boys Town, and it sounds like you went through, well, you know, anybody that's over maybe 40 or 50 has seen that old Mickey Rooney movie about Boys Town.
Yes.
And, you know, Father Flanagan went through a lot, but my gosh, if anybody's gone through Omaha, you know, out west of town, you can't miss Boys Town. It's, I mean, they've got their own zip code there, and a tremendous amount was done and can be done. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like you've been dragged through all those experiences.
Yeah, but you know what, you know, I've come to realize that I don't regret anything that I've been through. You know, yeah, I would like to have, you know, maybe have some things, seen things differently. But, you know, everything I've been through, you know, I believe that that Creator, you know, took me through those things so that I could relate to our youth, you know, because my vision has been to bring back our youth, or, you know, our young red spirits, bring them back. I mean, this is what my grandfathers believed, you know, and, you know, and it's like to bring that back and, you know, and to rebuild them. These are the throwaway kids. You know, I was a throwaway kid. I was a kid that, you know, just said, you'll never, but you see, hear my father say this all the time, you'll never amount to anything.
Well,
and
listen, we need to go to a break, and I understand after the break you've got a friend that's going to be calling in.
Yes. Yes, I do.
And so we're going to take a couple minutes off as soon as Don throws the switch or pushes the button. Or...
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
And just for example, last night, you did a show last night that was 90 minutes starting at 7:30.
That's right.
Then you went through that. Then you came here. You're here this morning.
That's right.
Doing all of this.
It's nonstop. I don't sleep anymore.
No. All right. So where do you get the energy? Seriously. I mean, look at you.
Well,
I mean, we've known each other a long time. Yeah. We've passed. You don't ever get older.
Well, thank you. It's quite funny because, you know, people are kind of shocked when they hear that I'm 54 years old. And they say, how do you keep your youth? I have found something, Dr. Phil, that I think is the closest thing to the fountain of youth.
Oh, you do have a secret.
I have a secret, and I've never really talked about it. Well, I've been doing this for the last 2 years. It's called Protandem, and it works. And I'm telling everybody about this.
You feel differently.
I do.
Because you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off.
Yeah.
And, but, I mean, you're hitting the times. You're getting where you're supposed to be.
I have
you're
to be on the spot all the time.
Now, I've got three sisters. And we get along great, 1,500 miles apart. I cannot imagine.
It takes me 1,600 miles.
Yeah. But I can't imagine working with my sister every day. What do you do when you have disagreements? Because you have to have disagreements, right? Because
well,
you're both producers.
Yeah, we're both producers, and that's difficult because we're both type A. And you're going to butt heads. What's really interesting about the Donnie Marie duo is that it doesn't really matter how much we butt the heads when that curtain goes.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Well, hi, folks. We're back after our first break. I'm going to give out the call-in numbers. We'd like Loretta's friend Robert is standing by to call in. He's in charge of the Step It Up program. Robert, why don't you give us a call at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And that's a number for USA, and a number for USA Canada is 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. While we're waiting for his call, why don't you tell us about your about that program?
Okay, the Step It Up program is pretty much, it's a program that's, we use it to help raise awareness of the suicide issues or any of the, it's kind of a introduction to our talking circles that we have, and that's our support groups. And everything is done the traditional style with in a circle. And, of course, a lot of times we try to do it around campfire, but sometimes, you know, with the weather or wherever we're at and stuff, sometimes, you know, maybe we're not in a location, you know, that we can't, you know, be around a campfire or anything like that. But it's a place for them to get together. And this is kind of the introduction way because we have mentors that come in and, you know, spend time with the teens or just being a good role model with them. And, you know, and we try to keep up with all having all Red Spirits, you know, kind of just join together of from all tribes come together. And Robert is one of the first to really come forward to do this with our teens. But he's actually hitting a lot of the just the communities in general, because all our programs kind of assist the communities because we involve the families as well. So Robert's he's basically like a mentor, and he's got a great message with speaking out about the health and wellness to our young ones. And it'd be nice if he called in so he could introduce himself a little better. I don't know if they've got him on the line yet or if he's able to.
Yeah, we'd hear a beep. I guess, did he tell you how he was going to listen? Or?
You know, he said he was going to listen, and he was going to listen in and try to.
Yeah, because I give the directions on how to get here at prophecykeepers.com. Oh, we don't miss him. But,
yeah.
And while we're waiting, I'd like to give out the folks to go to your website. It's www.angel2angelnetwork.org, angelnetwork.org. And so tell us some more.
Yes. Well, right now we're looking. Actually, we've been looking at property, and we have property in mind. And our website is actually going through a whole new look right now, so it's going to get a whole new makeover, and it's, you know, it'll have all our programs will be listed up there, and it'll have the Step It Up program, it'll have a little so that, you know, everybody can kind of see with what we're doing with that, how we're having events and activities that involve the teens and their families, and interaction with Robert and with myself and with other mentors that come in and everything. But we have that going, and then we have our and it's also an introduction to have people to see what kind of other programs that we have and what kind of help that we do need, because funding, you know, as well as you know, is like funding is always needed, and in order to keep these programs going, and even with our talking circles, the funding is needed. So this is basically underneath that Step It Up program. It's kind of the umbrella of everything.
Is that Robert?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? Glad you made it.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good. Be sure and speak up. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, My name's Robert Dean. I'm out of Guava, Dakota. I am, what can I say? I'm a competitive bodybuilder who got involved with the Step It Up program and attempts to reach out to the youth and try to show them a more positive image as far as health and wellness is concerned with the Native community. And so I've been working with that, trying to connect more with a lot of the youth, you know, growing up in rural or urban areas, trying to be more of a positive influence for a lot of them that, you know, are struggling with things, you know, whether it be alcohol or other serious health issues that affect a lot of the Native people and their families.
We're honored to have you. The last Oglala Sioux Tribe member we had on, actually, I guess we interviewed a couple times, was Ed McGaugh.
Mm-hmm.
And he's written several books on Lakota spirituality. And I was just on Russell Means' website. He's running for Oglala Sioux Tribe president and going through the usual political BS. But anyway, didn't mean to interrupt. Want to welcome you, though.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So tell us a little bit more about what you do.
Well, I've been doing what I do for a very long time. I've been in health and fitness industry since I was really young. And so what I do is basically... it's something I've always done, just from the way I grew up was there was a lot of alcoholism and diabetes and a lot of serious health issues that have affected my family. And so growing up for me was quite a struggle and a lot of confusion as far as how these things affected my family, my relatives around me. And I got into things at a young age and out of habit, just kind of stuck with them. And as I got older, I realized a lot of things that were going on around me were pretty much destroying my relatives, a lot of friends. And so I wasn't really, you know, my story is I'm not someone who got caught up in that. I'm not an ex-alcoholic or a drug user. I've always, from a young age, knew that this was all very bad for me and yet I saw it destroy everyone around me. What I always did was I stayed away from it and lived a healthy lifestyle.
Do you attribute, you know, I've always liked the philosophy. I heard someone say that some of the Lakota traditionals believe now that the first mistake that they made was making decisions without their horses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Going to go to a break, and we'll be back in a minute, and we'll talk a little bit more about making decisions with horses.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
You want to get an edge on turning back the clock with just a few pills? Who doesn't? Well, it's no longer science fiction, but science possibility, a potential breakthrough. As I found out firsthand, there may be a way to erase years, at least inside my body. Granted, it's down the road, but some scientists are wondering if a new pill I took might offer a very long life.
It may not look like the Fountain of Youth, but inside this nondescript building, I'm about to become part of an exciting experiment, a kind of guinea pig.
Dr. McCord, okay.
I'm here at the University of Colorado in Denver to meet Dr. Joe McCord, a world-renowned scientist.
This is pretty exciting stuff you're finding, huh?
It is. We're very excited about it.
His latest research could very well unravel the mystery of aging itself. And his decades of experiments may have the potential of adding years to people's lives and possibly prevent chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. It all centers around this small yellow pill, and for me, it begins with a blood test.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given blood for this company.
They want to check my levels of something called T-bars, which is a rough indicator of a person's actual age. T-bars can identify a condition known as oxidative stress, a kind of measure of the wear and tear on our bodies. Oxidative stress, like the rusting of an engine, is not a good thing.
Bad for the body.
Leading to disease.
Leading to disease and leading to malfunction, and importantly, leading to what we call aging. It is a slow progression of increasing oxidative stress. That's the main characteristic biochemically of the aging process.
The problem of aging begins with the very food we eat to give us energy. As our cells burn that food, they also release toxic chemicals. Those chemicals, you may know them as free radicals, react with all the components of our cells, literally bombarding them millions of times per second, damaging all our cells. The result? Oxidative stress. And we all have it. The body fights back with a system of defenses. It makes two antioxidant enzymes, catalase and SOD, whose job is to gobble up the free radicals before they can harm our cells.
So, doctor, how often do I take these?
And so, here I go. With that swallow, I've just become part of a potentially landmark scientific experiment.
Doesn't taste bad.
It's called Protandim, and tests on both mice and humans have already shown that it revs up the manufacture of those good enzymes in our bodies. More enzymes, fewer free radicals to harm us. Whether that will lead to longer life is still unknown. Experiments to see if mice live longer are about to get underway, but it's a tantalizing theory.
Right now, all we know is that this preparation decreases oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is not a disease, just like aging is not in itself a disease, but it's something that accompanies and is attached to many disease processes. So you can see the age-related...
Normally, oxidative stress, measured by those T-bars, increases with age. But in Dr. McCord's tests, taking just one pill of Protandim a day reversed that trend for everyone at every age, even for an 80-year-old.
They all are reduced to the level of oxidative stress that one would expect, frankly, in a newborn or a very young child.
Back to the oxidative stress levels of a child? It sounds too good to be true. Will Protandim work on me?
The scientific evidence is there. The pieces seem to make sense. The question is, does this translate into something that humans can take advantage of?
And so, ancient Eastern healing and modern Western medicine may soon be working together. High oxidative stress is associated with more than aging. It's been linked to hundreds of illnesses.
It's at the very center of many diseases. Liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, asthma. I've studied all of these. Strokes, heart attacks.
Even mental disease.
Yes.
Depression?
Alzheimer's disease, depression.
Dr. James Crapo with the National Jewish Medical Center in Denver is also researching Protandim for the company.
Are you saying that this could be a cure-all?
You're looking at something that will have a small impact, but an important impact.
We make no claims about curing any disease or preventing any disease. We hope that when enough studies are done, perhaps such claims might be able to be made in the future.
Clinical studies to assess Protandim in both diabetes and heart disease should start in 3 to 4 months. But what about my progress? After nearly 2 weeks now, it's time to get my results. Dr. McCord calculates the numbers. The result? My level of oxidative stress has declined dramatically.
45%, that's excellent.
Just look at where I fall on the graph, before and after.
Which, if extrapolated back, is the level you would see in a newborn baby.
Have we turned back the clock? Well, maybe not on the outside, but deep inside, within my cells. Yes, indeed.
Would you suggest I keep taking this supplement?
I would. I can't guarantee it's going to extend your life. I can't guarantee it's going to eliminate any diseases or cure any diseases.
But we do know that oxidative stress is part of those disease processes. And I don't want to wait until I'm 80 years old and find out that I should have taken it.
For more, go to our website at abcnews.com.
Major universities and government agencies initiated and continue self-funded studies following the ABC Primetime Investigative Report you just viewed that originally aired in 2005. These studies continue to reveal more scientific evidence about Protandim's unique benefits. They are published in major scientific and medical journals. The next video will bring you up to date.
Developed after 40 years of research and exclusively for LifeVantage, Protandim is a true scientific breakthrough in anti-aging. Protandim has been reported on ABC, NBC, and PBS, featured in the Wall Street Journal, and described in CNN Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book, Chasing Life, The Quest for Immortality. Protandim's creator, Dr. Joe McCord, is a world-renowned scientist and a pioneer in free radical biology. Dr. McCord is the discoverer of the key anti-aging enzyme, superoxide dismutase. His role in the discovery is so significant, the enzyme is measured in McCord units. For Dr. McCord's discovery of superoxide dismutase and his contributions in free radical biology, he was awarded the Elliott Cresson Medal. This medal is awarded to distinguished inventors and scientists, putting Dr. McCord in the same company as Pierre and Marie Curie, Alexander Graham Bell, Orville Wright, and Henry Ford. Dr. Joe McCord has devoted his life's work to the study of free radicals, their role in aging, and the many problems associated with aging. Consumers spend billions every year on antioxidants in the form of food and supplements, hoping to reduce these free radicals. But antioxidants from these sources can only eliminate one free radical for every one antioxidant molecule you consume. Protandim is scientifically proven to slow cellular damage caused by free radicals. Taking one Protandim one time per day for 30 days turns on these anti-aging enzymes in your body. Your own enzymes eliminate free radicals at a rate of 1 million to 1.
I think any other supplements that are designed to be antioxidant supplements probably are no longer needed because Protandim solves that problem in a much more effective way.
Protandim is a breakthrough poised to revolutionize the anti-aging industry. It is an entirely new and scientifically validated way to fight aging, reducing your oxidative stress levels to that of a 20-year-old after just 30 days.
We found, as many other scientists had documented, that there is a progressive increase in T-bars in your blood the older you get. When these same people took Protandim for 30 days, the age-dependent increase in lipid peroxidation was completely eliminated. After Protandim, we could no longer distinguish the 80-year-old from the 20-year-old.
Protandim is protected by 3 U.S. patents. Universities around the world continue to initiate and fund their own studies of Protandim and to evaluate how this anti-aging breakthrough can prevent and improve many of the hundreds of problems associated with aging.
Many academic scientists at a number of universities have begun studying Protandim because it represents a new tool. It represents a way of reducing oxidative stress that wasn't available before. There was simply was not a good way of doing what Protandim does. Protandim interacts with the DNA in your cells and causes the cells to make more of a set of genes called survival genes. The ingredients in Protandim were actually selected because they're largely metabolized by the liver, which does not interfere with most prescription drugs, which are generally metabolized by the kidneys. So the general answer to that is yes, it is safe. The immediate benefits of Protandim are within several days, the biochemical markers of oxidative stress begin to decrease. And while these are immediate improvements, you may not sense that these things are happening, just as you can't sense what your cholesterol level is, if it's high or low. But nonetheless, these benefits start happening within days of taking Protandim. The advantages to taking Protandim in the long term are that it protects your body from the relentless progression of free radical damage as we age. The anti-aging aspect of Protandim is one that accumulates over time. So the longer you take it, the more protection you will sustain. Missing a dose of Protandim is not a big problem. It takes about 2 weeks for the effects to go away. So if you miss it for 2 weeks, you're pretty much back to where you started from.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
And we're back. We're talking with Robert about making decisions with horses. And so, Robert, do you attribute? Did you get involved with the more traditional element? Is that how you stayed away? How did you manage to stay away from bad influences?
Oh, well, combination of things. I think a lot of it was one of it. Basically was just by experiencing everything that was going on around me and seeing how it was affecting everyone around me was one of the primary things. And then just staying true to my own beliefs, you know, my own traditional beliefs, and not falling into peer pressure or into what everybody else was doing, because it was, you know, I wasn't influenced by a lot of these things as everybody seemed to be. I from an early stage, I found it to be very destructive, and so I tended to veer away from it. You know,
wow, kind of a miracle. And how old are you? But you don't mind me asking.
I am 33.
That's interesting. I kind of the first thing that comes to mind is if you might have been 10 or 20 years older, you might not have been as lucky. I think Loretta's about the same age bracket as I am, in her 50s. Is that correct, Loretta? Well, that's okay. No, you're 39. Yeah, you told me. Anyway, I think in those ensuing years, I think people were waking up to about peer pressure, and there were those forces that kind of were steering kids away. But those 60s and 70s, they could be pretty rough years to grow up in, and it was pretty easy to get lost, especially, not speaking from experience, but I understand that, you know, it was, you know, growing up on a reservation is not fun.
Mm-mm.
But what do you think, Laura? Do you think things have gotten better? You think the era that Robert grew up in might have been a little more advantageous? Do you think things are getting better for kids?
Actually, I'm not that much older than Robert, but that's okay.
Oh, okay.
but anyhow, no, you
plausible
know what?
Plausible deniability. Okay.
Well, actually, you know what? It's actually gotten worse, I think. I think kids nowadays, especially on the reservations, and even off the reservations, are dealing with a lot more peer pressure now, and it is getting worse. And,
oh my gosh!
You know, it is bad right now, and so, but this is what's great. This is what I've always loved about Robert's you know, just Robert's own message and everything is because he didn't have these, he wasn't influenced by these, you know, things around him, that he's got that story that he can actually connect with these kids and show them that, you know, that they have choices, you know, that it's about choice. And so a lot of our programs, you know, that's where we steer these kids to find their voice and use it. And, you know, we are their voices right now. So we have to step it up to be able to help them find their voices. And, you know, so it's like with Robert, he's, you know, he's got that image that where they look at him and they're like, wow, you know, that could be me, you know. And it's very inspiring to hear these kids and then to hear their families talk about these things, about how, you know, to say, to come back and say, wow, you know what, I saw a change in my kid, you know. And we're dealing with kids that, you know, now it's like, you know, they're just, they're talking about, you know, they don't even want to be associated with the tribes or anything anymore. And it's really sad, you know, to see that. And, you know, and then where else I have the story of, you know, going through things and, you know, and it's just, you know, it's that mixed, you know, they get to see all views, you know, that, you know, here's somebody that comes out of a bad situation and turning it around as well, you know. And it's about choice. It's about empowering choice with these kids. So, you know, but I do see that that the kids nowadays, though, are really going through a lot more. I mean, when you think of what's happening within the next 24 hours, you know, you go through those statistics and those things that come back at you. You know, when I get a call or the alerts start coming in on the emails, and I, you know, we have a staff of 12 that are all volunteer staff, and, you know, and they're working the online stuff, and they're you know, finding out things. I'm constantly getting in with emails and or getting phone calls, messages of saying, you know, we have somebody that ran away, you know, nearby reservation or nearby area, you know. So it's kind of, you have all kinds of problems going on nowadays, and peer pressure is really bad. You know,
the thing that occurred to me was, as our nation gets richer, you know, even Indian kids are, are, you know, getting a little bit richer. I think with easier access to money, you've got more access to drugs, the internet. You know, I was looking at a website earlier today that here in central Utah. There's a place called Oxbow Academy, and they kind of specialize in sexual addiction among teenagers. And of course, Oprah said, you know, don't let that kid have that internet in his room. You know, have it where you can watch it. And I guess is what do you think about that theory? That, you know, we got a little bit more money and the things are more readily available and access to the internet, and as far as corrupting kids' minds?
It's everywhere. It's on TV. I mean, you turn on the TV and, you know, and there's stuff there, but it's in the schools. It's everywhere, you know. It's really everywhere. I mean, this is why we need programs, though, to actually get these kids involved, you know, with programs that are going to be that are going to get them away from all these other, you know, things that are happening around them. You know, they need to be involved with things, and like with our programs, there's no pressure. I mean, we've actually had requests to have more nights a week because we started out with just one night a week, and then it, you know, went up to two nights a week. And then it went up to three nights a week because these kids just kept wanting to come back and draw into this stuff. But now we also have a program, too, that we've adopted, and it was with the Eldersgate, you know. That. You're very familiar with that. But the elders are, you know, to be bringing the elders in to start, you know, working with our teens and stuff. So this is something that is just, you know, it's going to work, and it does work, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, we all need each other, you know.
Right. Let me tell folks a little bit about Eldersgate.
My friend Ben Yosef, who works with the Membrano Apache over in Walsenburg, with the last nickels that he had, he inherited some money from his dad, and wasn't a whole lot, but he was able to swing the purchase of an old HUD repo, and he used whatever funds he could to try to fix it up. It was from the sound of it, it kind of sounds like Rolling Thunder's old house. Rolling Thunder lived in Carlin, Nevada. He bought an old brothel, had a whole bunch of bedrooms, and they're small bedrooms. And so the idea is the movement, you know, it's kind of a, you know, a native version of, you know, Ronald McDonald. You know, only it's elders that you're bringing in and to be near the kids at the kind of a mobile hospital and get, you know, so they can have, you know, a speakers bureau or teaching bureau or whatever. And mm-hmm. It's a place for elders to land when they get to a place where they can support movements like yours.
Yes, and it's great. It's a great interaction because it's, you know, as what we have it planned is that when we have people coming in from, you know, the Southwest regions and stuff, flying into Albuquerque, we'll pick them up and then they'll come in and spend time with the teams mm-hmm. for a few days, and then we'll take them up to Colorado there, and then we'll, and then, you know, just depending on how long they're going to stay there, you know, that'll be decided, but they get to, they get mentored with the elders. So it, this is very vital to our youth, our native youth. So it's, you know, it's very much needed. So our programs are, they're growing, you know, but, and that's why the need with the, you know, the property that we're seeking, and we're going to have all that information up on the website and pictures of it and stuff. But we're right now trying to raise funds for all this, but so it's been our, we're campaigning right now. We just started one today, actually, and so it's going to go on for 3 weeks, and I'm sure it's going to go on beyond that, but we are campaigning to raise funds for this ranch that, you know, they're asking $2.5 million. People are telling me I'm crazy that, you know, you guys are not going to raise that much money for this, but you know what? Creator is bigger and he can do anything. So.
Don't ever tell her other. You know, this is something she can't do, right?
That's right. You know, you challenge me, I'll just prove you wrong. So.
Well, hey, listen, we're going to go to our last break, and when we come back, I want to ask you about what kind of media cover, if you're getting other media coverage or how things are working out. And
be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Good afternoon. These are on, I presume. I'd like to talk to you today, and do I have control of these slides, or is I do? Okay, let's get through these really quick, because this is just because you have to get CMEs, and I have to tell you that I am on the Speakers Bureau for GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, and also a nutritional consultant for an HIV nutritional company named Biosource Therapeutics, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. What I'd like to talk to you about is something that I find thoroughly fascinating. It is glutathione. It is one of the four endogenous antioxidants, and it is one that I must admit, despite 80,000 published articles in the English literature, through medical school, internship, residency, fellowship, and a fairly long time in academic medicine, I knew nothing about. It is a very interesting molecule, because it exists in an accelerated or increased energy state. The energy state is, or increased energy state, is caused by the fact that it's got a free sulfhydryl group, and therefore can easily donate the hydrogen to a electron and therefore quench a free radical. Now, let me tell you, because I think it's important, and it is a little bit of a divergence, but I learned about glutathione because of something that you probably all have seen in your practice, and that is a low uric acid. Now, when I was in medical school and when I was a professor of oncology, the only thing I knew about uric acid is when you had a kid that you were going to treat for leukemia, you put them on allopurinol to keep the uric acid down. I knew nothing about uric acid being low, except it kept appearing, and it appeared in about 20% of my patients. And that just didn't make sense. So I finally went into PubMed, and after stumbling around for a long time, I found out that uric acid is the last antioxidant your body uses when it's run out of everything else. When it's run out of gas, okay, it uses uric acid. Interesting. So if that's the last, the question then, what was the first? And that is where I got into glutathione. I've been coming to some of these meetings for a while, and glutathione is very important for a number of things, not all of which I'm going to go into today. But in point of fact, it has a great deal to do with not only well-being, okay, but aging well, or if you will, retarding the aging process. So I think it's very applicable. I'd like to, at the risk of repeating things that you already know, go over some of the things that glutathione is important about. Alone in the antioxidant world, okay, every other antioxidant, when it becomes oxidized, becomes itself a free radical. Glutathione doesn't. It actually recycles other antioxidants. In fact, the body considers it so important that up to 6% of the entire ATP expenditure or energy expenditure of the body may be used to synthesize and optimize glutathione levels. That's pretty impressive, 6% of the entire energy output of the body. It is also the only non-enzyme antioxidant that doesn't become a free radical and, in fact, has a very interesting corollary when it becomes oxidized, because what happens is it complexes to another spent glutathione molecule, and the compound then becomes GSSG, and GSSG has been shown in animal studies at least to promote and induce delta wave sleep. We all know the importance of that in terms of the aging process, so this, even in its used up form, functions as a very useful product. It not only functions as an antioxidant itself, but alone again in the world of antioxidants, it is an absolutely essential component of antioxidant enzymes, namely glutathione peroxidase, and most importantly, the glutathione transferases. And I bring that up because glutathione transferase abnormalities have now been associated with virtually every cancer known to man, and probably with a lot more than that. And therefore, by promoting the production of glutathione transferases through improving glutathione, we may be doing even more than I'm able to talk about right now. In addition, if that were not enough, let's keep going. It's a chelator. In fact, it's 50% as effective as oral chelation in getting rid of mercury. It has an effect on other heavy metals, but they're not as pronounced as mercury, and mercury is pretty ubiquitous in an environment, so it kind of comes as a freebie. And it detoxifies organic pollutants, perhaps the best known one of which is the 2-carbon fragment that we know as alcohol. And in fact, without glutathione, you ultimately get a hangover because you stop the process at acetaldehyde, which is phase one detox, and that in itself is a free radical, and obviously many of us may have felt the effects of that if we didn't have enough glutathione. Now, why is it important in aging? Well, these are old data, and I think they're probably not as robust as they should be, but I'll give you what is available now. Glutathione levels decrease with age. The data would suggest it's 1% a year beginning in the 20s. I think that's too little, too late, but that's only my opinion right now. I haven't proved it. There are some very interesting things, though. Age-matched normals, okay, reveal that anybody at, say, 45 who's had his first heart attack or has asthma or whatever other disease you want to use has a lower glutathione level than somebody of that age who's well. So disease causes decrease in glutathione and an accelerated decrease compared to normals. Glutathione happens to be, and this is perhaps the take-home message, it's the major protector of mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial DNA is that DNA within the cells that's responsible, if you will, for the electron transport chain that produces every bit of energy in your body. And we know from pathologic data that if you take a biopsy from a 90-year-old and compare it to a biopsy in a 5-year-old, the mitochondrial DNA in the 90-year-old is only 5% normal compared to the 5-year-old. So obviously we destroy our mitochondrial DNA, we destroy our energy, and we age. Maintenance of normal mitochondrial DNA is directly correlated, and it's got an R value above 9.9, with aging. So the higher your glutathione, the less you age. And I think
it's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Well, we're back with Medicine Sky Woman and her friend Robert. So, what kind of, have you had any luck with, how are you raising your money? Are you getting any media attention? Or
you know what, I'm just back into, because of my health, and I'm still recovering, but I just went through a battle of a little over a year with cancer, so, but it's in remission as of September 20th, but I'm still recovering. I still have some problems, some issues that came along with that I'm recovering from. But so I am just now getting back into getting our funding where it needs to be. So this has actually been my first week back at it again. So, since my health has been down, and I still have to be really careful, but, I'm just really motivated and excited to start getting some things back on track again. We had somebody sabotage some things.
I was reading that.
Yes. We had somebody that used to do work for us that we trusted very much. Somebody I had known, since middle school. So it was a bad situation, and that they were embezzling money, and it actually shut down some programs. We were funding a small Indian group home. That program got shut down because we were basically their support system, monthly. So, but I was, since I've been gone, and recovering, in treatment and everything, and, found out that they had closed their doors, and, I had no idea because of, my taking a step back, and, and then when I started to step back into doing things again, started to find out stuff, what was really happening. So now this is really my first week back at things, and we're hoping to get just letting people know that we need help. I have a small budget, which our budget can grow, but is the way it's growing right now, and it's being reported with all the groups that are just starting up everywhere. It takes time to train people. Everybody, you have to be certified. We go through all kinds of stuff. In order to set up our support groups. So, this stuff costs money to keep the programs going, especially with working on the reservations and just kind of reaching out, it takes time, gas, everything like that to reach out, but our materials that we use to everything. So, there's a lot put into it. So our programs are really in need, and I won't give up, even when the funding is not there, and right now it's not there. We are all just really relying on Creator right now to come through for us. So we're really looking for people to really put their hearts into it and just really do something for our youth, because our youth are our future. And these, these young red spirits, they are coming back, and we are turning them around from being rebels to turning into mighty, mighty proud warriors. So these are our future, and so we have to take care of them. And so I'm just, really out asking everybody to please, pray and ask Creator what they would like them to do to help support our programs. We took that hit with things, and when everything went under investigation, and then as the charges were brought on to this person, and as now it's going through the courts right now, but it hit us hard, and it messed up all our programs, especially the Step It Up program, and that's the vital one there, because that helps us support, be able to help support like Elders Gate, we're basically going to be taking on them, like, to help them out with their needs, because, you know, they're a vital part of our programs with these youth. So it's kind of like, you know, so right now I'm just really asking everybody to see, you know, the Angel to Angel Network needs a home. We need a foundation of a place where a ranch where we can have do.